Welcome to the It's Not About the Fucking Food podcast. I'm Chloe and this is the podcast that's dedicated to helping women love and nourish their bodies with ease and create their vision board life. Welcome to another podcast of It's Not About the Fucking Food. And today I'm going to be talking about some ways that we keep ourselves stuck. Now, so often in recovery, I think we can feel disempowered. We can feel like we're stuck. We can feel like it's something that we're never going to get away from. And this is something that can be often repeated and re-traumatized actually in our systems by healthcare professionals. There's a narrative at the moment that if we have been ill for over 10 years, that we are untreatable, unfixable, and that can make us feel broken, that can make us feel like actually recovery isn't a possibility for us. And there's a lot I have to say about that subject. I think ultimately it comes down to the people who are providing that healthcare, providing that service, actually being undereducated, underqualified to work in this space. And ultimately, it's not a trauma-informed way to practice, which I think says a lot. We always want to be empowering people. And recovery is possible for everybody if we want it. And that's the only real caveat, is if we truly want it, then recovery is truly possible for anybody. And I specialise in working with people who have had eating disorders chronically, that have had eating disorders long-term, the people that have been told that they are untreatable, unfixable, or feel broken because they've been stuck for as long as they are, they have been, they don't know who they are without it. That is who I work with, and I see success again and again and again. And myself, I had eating disorders for nearly 14 years, so it's not true. The 10-year rule is complete bullshit, let's be honest about it. But there are some things that happen that tell us these narratives, and these can be reinforced by other people, and it's going to influence our subconscious programming. So I'm going to talk to you today about some ways that we keep ourselves stuck and how to change those. Okay. So the first thing is super simple to change. And it's about how we speak about ourselves, our eating disorders, and the behaviours that come with it. So often I hear clients say, I can't eat like that, or I can't eat X food, or I have to exercise in X way, I have to do X every day. Okay? And whenever they are saying that, they're also hearing that. What we say, we hear, and we nourish those limiting beliefs, the ones that are going to keep us stuck. So I want you to notice where you are using language like that. And it's not just about our eating disorder behaviours, disordered eating behaviours either. We do this stuff all the time. I can't do X because I have a baby. I can't do X because I have X, you know, of my job or whatever. And actually, so often we're making a choice. And that's the simplicity of it. We are making these choices each and every day. If Leo chooses, like last night, to not go to sleep until 9:30 at night, you know, I have a choice. I'm going to be exhausted the next day if I'm up with him, and I'm up with him in the night. But that is my choice. That the consequences of not doing that for me and not being there, not being emotionally available, not supporting him to sleep are much higher. So I choose to support his sleep, even though there are consequences of that, even though I might be a bit upset about it. That's okay. In the same way that we're choosing to engage in those eating disorder behaviours because the consequences of not doing that for us at the moment are too high. Because if we don't do that, or we don't follow the eating disorder rules, we're going to feel too anxious. The eating disorder is going to be too loud for us to cope with right now. And that's okay. We get to meet ourselves where we're at. So rather than focusing on changing the behaviour, if we're not there yet, and there are times where we have to sometimes flip this around and do the behaviour change first, but for the vast majority of the people that I work with, we get to add before we take away, like I said in the last episode. So we get to focus on changing our language and opening ourselves up to the possibility of change. Okay, so changing, I have to do X every day, to at the moment I'm choosing to do X every day. At the moment I am choosing to exercise for X amount of time. It might not feel like a choice, and I so get that, and I hear you if it's saying it's not a choice, I have to do it. But just by changing that language, whether we believe it or not right now, is going to open up the possibility. If that feels really, really sticky still when we're saying I choose to, and it just feels too difficult to hold in your system, then maybe changing it to right now. right now I feel like I have to do X. Right now I feel like I can't eat X food, or I have to exercise. That right now is giving us again that slight possibility, not as much as the choice as I choose to, that definitely be my preference, but changing that to right now I feel like I have to, because it's a feeling, and the right now, creating that time limitation around that, is going to really help your language. So changing your language can really help you to get unstuck, because you're going to be feeding the brain more positive stuff. Another thing I see people getting really stuck in is their identity. So often when we've lived with disordered eating, eating disorders, maybe other diagnoses as well, I live with chronic health diagnoses, and for a while they became also part of my identity. And when we identify with our eating disorder, disordered eating, anxiety, autoimmune conditions, it's going to create some level of stuckness, because we are ultimately seeing them as part of ourselves, and being left with that space is so scary. One of the things I hear clients say again, but who am I going to be without this? Who am I going to be without this? And if we don't know who we're going to be without it, it's going to be really difficult to let go of. So again, identifying with that eating disorder, disordered eating, whatever we're identifying with, is a way that we keep ourselves stuck. And the best way to deal with that is by focusing on some of the identities we have with outside of it. Again, this is about feeding the brain with stuff that is going to help us change. So let's focus on those new identities. Can you create habits? Can you create hobbies? Can you start doing hobbies that are outside of that identity? Can you think about some of the values you hold? Can you think about some of the personality traits you hold that aren't to do with those limiting identities for you? For example, are you kind? Are you generous? Do you love doing crafting? Do you enjoy swimming, being by the beach, whatever it may be? Trying to focus instead on those identities that are limiting for us, and focusing on the other things, can be really, really beneficial, because we're then feeling like we're not going to be left with that empty hole so much if we choose to let go of the eating disorder. I think this is actually somewhere where being part of eating disorder communities, and I'm part of a few just to keep an eye on what's going on, what's coming up for people, can actually be quite toxic, because we become, rather than supporting each other, quite often in these groups I see people holding each other in the eating disorder than being part of the community and feeling like they have to lower themselves to where everybody else is at, and actually it can become quite toxic. So that's something to be really aware of, is that being part of loads of support groups isn't necessarily supportive, and that's different for people to people. It's also different depending on the support group and whether it's moderated, whether they actually have somebody coming in and giving really constructive advice or not. You know, that changes how supportive, but that's definitely something to watch for. And the third way we keep ourselves stuck is really on that subconscious level. As I said, everything we're doing is feeding the brain information. And if clients aren't looking and people aren't looking at their subconscious programming, they're going to stick in their default programming. And the default is always going to be easier, and the default is always going to be the eating disorder. So if you aren't read up around beliefs, if you don't have any knowledge around belief systems and where they are, how they are the way they are and how we change them, then it's something I hugely recommend and something I talk about a lot and I do in all of my courses and programs, because it's so fundamental to really reprogramming our brains for success. And if our brains aren't set up for success, we're going to sabotage it. But hopefully I've given you some things that you can do around your identity, around the words you use, and that will have an influence on your beliefs as well. But there is so much more we can do with that line of work. So if you're interested in doing more than that, then feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to support you in finding the right way for you to look at that belief system. And there's loads of things that we can do, loads of books. As I said, I have my own loads of books and podcasts and loads of things that are available, as well as my own courses and programs as well. But when we really acknowledge that there are things that we're doing that are keeping ourselves stuck, we're again starting to empower ourselves. We're starting to give ourselves the opportunity to change. And that's something I think is really sad about the way we treat people who have struggled with these things chronically, is that they are just told again and again that that's their life, that's their personality. And we reinforce that through the way that we talk to ourselves. And so I hope you can take some steps after listening to this to really empower yourself and maybe walk away with a little bit more hope too. As I said, the work I do is predominantly with the people that are deemed unfixable and untreatable, and and I see success with them all the time, and it's so fantastic to see. So there is always hope. Recovery is truly possible for anybody as long as you want it. I will speak to you on the next podcast.